Boker Tov, today's daf is daf Hey. Hey, how do you like that? And we got up to Hey Chidomi, the last line on Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Hey Chidomi Sris Chama. What exactly do we mean when we talk in the Mishnah about a Sris Chama? We certainly don't mean what we usually mean. We don't mean that the case is specifically that he became a soris through some type of natural event, no matter when that took place, because, I mean, that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. We're talking about Shasa Kosher. There must be a specific, this is how the Rifa understands the question, there must be a specific reference to the idea of Sris Chama in terms of the Mishnah that would be indicative of whether it had a shot a kosher or not. I mentioned to the Yerushalmi's pshat, the meaning of Sris Chama, particularly in this context, that's for sure. There's my focus, but how broad the Yerushalmi means it, that Sris Chama would mean someone who never saw the face of the sun until he was a sari. So that would be the simple meaning. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, kosher lo ra'ah sha'ah achat bekashruto, which may be he would be accepted, although we're going to see that they give an explanation has to do with heat as applied to the uterus. So, but certainly in terms of the words, it also makes sense. But of course, the idea over here is what's important is not the general sense of whether it was B'day Shemayim, but B'day Adam. The point over here is that it happened congenitally. Minoy Adinan, how do we know at the moment of birth that a child is a saris? How would we really have any suspicions? If urination is not, there's not enough pressure in urination to create a kippah, so let's say the child is lying on his back, urinates, and the urine dribbles out instead of creating a, how do you say kippah?
An ark.
There's no ark. So now, how does this relate to chama? Because mimai havoi, how does such a condition come about that a fetus should be so affected? From heat, the afi ima b'tiara, so his mother was baking a hot oven in the afternoon, which was applied now to the embryo, and that heat causes this kind of breakdown. Okay?
That most posterior urethral valves, the valve in the urethra, and then makes them dribble out. These days, you take care of them.
Of course. But this is the shayla. Geshe l'refuah, and l'refuah, that's not what's in the mind.
I guess if Rabbi Hun is urine was me plus saris, then this would certainly plus saris.
Right. So, but the question of whether it has anything to do with heat, that's already definitely up there in the air. Vishatra Shikra Marka
and
from the mother drinking too much beer over there, and some of that strong beer. It's not looks actually, but the marka is strong, the marka is watered down. If you're going to drink beer, do it right.
In the British version.
Or whether it's just mixing drinks. So it's beer that is mozzled. Amr of Yosef. Haile the Shamano. This is what it was that I used to hear in me. And always saying, Kol Shemimei Imo Lokoi. It's all the uterus that causes it. I don't know. I didn't know what she was referring to. V'loyadana Maimiyu. Now, that's the meaning. In other words, a woman has to take care of her fetus to make sure not to expose it to these kinds of things, microwave, overheats, things like that.
Yeah.
Take your drinking too much alcohol. You never know what you're going to do to the fetus. So says the Gemara, what you're telling me is the fact that they saw at birth that kind of simen is a raya that now, years later, that he never ever had a time in which he might have been fertile. I mean, is this simen mean that it could never have changed in between? I mean, it's not yet sexually mature. Maybe interim between the birth and now. Maybe he got better. I mean, can't we say, V'leich Hashem and Hivri ben Hatayim? Now this, some bring a raya from here that the machlokus in the mission is a korban hasana like this. The question is, Gufa, whether it shayach a refuah with Rabbi Akiva of Eliezer. But over here we seem to be taking for granted that he could have a refuah. Does someone bring a raya from here? Everybody agrees he could have a refuah. The question is whether that's the issue in the Mishnah. However, it's also possible, this is really Achronim to talk about, it's possible to understand that it's in the context of a siman. In other words, assuming that we see later on, definitely there's a soros, but is this siman an indication that the situation was this way all the time? Does this create absolute soros? We'll see later on in the sugya whether we could understand it that way. So answers the Gemara, no, we have no chashash that in between, because after all, if the criterion here is whether there was a shas hakosher, you have to be absolutely certain there was no shas hakosher. So how do you know there's no shas hakosher between? Because, says the Gemara, kivan, tkiratovis ofol lakui, if we find that there were indications of serisut at birth, and we find that he definitely is a saris later on in life, so then lo chashinan, it's reasonable to say that this was, again, if we read it that way, that there could have been, but or lo chashinan, that now we see that indeed this is a real siman and this research began immediately. Moser v'mor, Reb Chanina ben Antignus Omer, bodkinato shalosh pa'amim betok shmonin yom. Now, when it comes to a mum and a bechor, where over there it's talking about a mum in the eye, dots in the eye, that sometimes could get better. So you have to check it 3 times over a period of 80 days. Otherwise, you don't know that it's kavua. So why over there do we check it time after time to make sure that what we're looking at is a permanent situation? And over here you say, well, the kid, when he was born, it wasn't nice akipa. No. That's because, as the Gemara, l'chad ever chashin. And over there the problem was the eyes. The genitals are not viewed as chad ever. That's an expression of the whole body. So it's a chalishut in the body. L'kula gufa lo chashina. When it comes now that maybe got better, it's something that was a systemic failure. A failure in an entire system, the reproductive system, is not working. We don't think is something that we have to check again and again and again. If it isn't working, it isn't working. That's how we look at it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo. That's not the idea. The criterion over here is actually, is it possible to get a refuah? That's the point. And so I say it's the exact other direction. You're talking about Shas HaKosher, and therefore the one that was during the period of his life, had a period in which he was fertile, and then had an accident that made him into that, then that's not the issue. The contrary. A Saris Chamak, in the sense that you used it, who was born with this problem, has a refuah. And therefore, it's the other way around, since he has a refuah, so he's not considered to be an absolute source. Vramin, ben esrim shana v'loi vishtei sarot. Now, we learned the chlal and the years, the Mishnah Nida goes through the years in Shlosh Esrei, what's considered to be a siman, male, female, how about if there is no siman of puberty, at what point does the child become a godel? So then we say like this, if he's 20 years old and he still has not brought any signs of puberty, v'loi v'yishtei saharot. So at this point, yaviu ra'aya shuhu ben esrim. He let him now, what is the case? The case is that the Bezdin is being mechayev him to be miyad. I mean, he's saying, but I'm not chayev in Yibam. Okay, show us that you're 20 years old. And furthermore, show us for who has saris. This is the way we understand it at the end. Not that, and therefore he is a saris, but rather he has to bring signs of sarisut, which we'll see later on what that is. And then there's no problem. Lo choleitz v'lo miyaveh. Same thing would happen if a bat esrim, where she is now in a position in which the Bezdin is saying, look, you can't get married unless you go ahead and you have to get a chalitza. Or that she says, but I'm not chayim a chalitza, I'm an islandist. So there too, there let her bring, yaviu ra'ayashi bat esrim, let her bring proof that she's 20 years old, and v'hi ha'ilonit, and let her bring proof that she has simonim of ilonit, and then indeed there's no problem. She doesn't require anything at that point. You're right in principle, but your shiur is wrong. The male and female are defined with simanei sarisut or simanei alonit as infertile at the age of 18. So if they can bring proof at the age of 18 that they have physical signs of sarisut to be described now, that's sufficient. We don't wait until they're 20. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, well, Hazachar k'divrei Beit Hillel. For a male has to be 20. And the Keva k'divrei Beit Shammai, a female could be 18 and be established as an Ilanit, and at that point there would be no chashash of chiyuv of you. Why is this? We know consistently that puberty comes earlier for a female than a male, and so too, therefore, would the proof of infertility come sooner in the female than in the male. Omar Rami by the Kuli Omar Shmuel. So we've got a steer here. Here on the one hand, we here's Rebbe Eliezer talking about the question of the Zachar and the Kevan. There's no question over here at all that there could be a refuah. That's not the issue. We have established that there's a p'tur for Yibum, and that's it. So it's another. And the only thing I'm arguing about is how to apply the shear. That's the only thing. But apparently the question now that no, it's not really an island, it's not really a soros, it's possible to get a refuah, as long as you're the correct age, all of a sudden that's not an issue. How is that not an issue? Ah, says the Gemara, you're right. Says Rami Badikuli, Mishmu, Rebbe Eliezer, obviously have charata. I mean, there's no way that he could now suddenly say that this is a vadai p'tur from Yibum when he himself says that they're only p'tur from Yibum someone who doesn't have refuah. So what's going on? Must be he changed his mind. Mihai Hadarbe, which one did he change his mind from? I mean, what is the definitive later sock of Rebbe Eliezer? Tashma, bring your raya. Tanya, Rebbe Eliezer, Amer Sariz Chama Choleitz V'Chotzin Leishto. We've got a brisa that says, look, if it's a congenital issue, I don't care how old he is. He needs chalitza, because if she came b'minan mitrapim b'Alexandria shamitzrayim, Alexandria, which had advanced medicine in those days, there are reports of repairs to a saris, to a congenital saris, and that means it's not absolute. And now that we know that that's the fact, we can no longer treat it as a p'tur of yibum, because the Torah was only talking about cases of absolute srisut. So therefore, it would appear, now there's two ways of learning this. One is that if we find a braita that expands upon a shita that is in the Mishnah, and that braita's extent, then probably that was the later shita, because we only bothered expanding in the braita the primary shita of the Mandiyama. Or the other pshat is very simple. Since the braita refers to a piece of knowledge that was brought to him from Alexandria, it's unlikely that he changed his mind. It's not the principle that's the issue over here. It's the fact. So, I mean, if in fact there are, it's given. Had he known this earlier, he would have said it earlier. It's much more reasonable to say that he didn't know that this was true. He simply didn't have evidence that there was a refuah given to Sari Simba when he found out. So then, of course, it was chazerbo. That makes more sense than saying it was chazer from the principle.
Empirical evidence?
Yeah, empirical evidence. Why not? You know that a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds, isn't it?
But these days they don't use so much of empirical evidence to go against anything that we have traditions for, right?
Yes and no. That's not so posh. That's true. Like the Dinei Treifas, what we said over there, because the Dinei Treifas are Halacha Mishmisina and they're Kavua, and therefore it doesn't matter what the empirical evidence are. Or whether it's Negei Alpayim Tera, that it's only up until the year 4000, that's sort of contradiction. It's certainly not across the board. We know anything that has to do with Kviyas at the time of death, elements of brain death. Shaila of the Gemara's that we're going to have today about Ben Shimona, which today certainly none of these things apply because Ben Shimona is high, and so on and so forth. Empirical is empirical. Fine. Rabbi Elazar says there's really not a problem here at all. Well, I don't know why you think that we have to assume that Rabbi Elazar has charata. Yolam lo hanabe. What makes him have charata? Kitzanahi lo onashim. What are you saying? The case, we have one case that defines the relationship of Sarisua to the possibility of refuah. In Nogea, the Teres Ptur, when it comes to the din of Yibum and Chalitza. So over there it said, look, it's not considered to be Yibum and Chalitza at that point. Over here, what is he talking about? He's talking about, I wanted to ask you, I feel it's a tremendous tirch to bring tea. During the summer, the tea is not masif. There's cold water over here. I'm deeply appreciative to your concern. It's wonderful. It's bamish. It's a guy. I mean, I feel bad taking away this incredible schus that for a guy like me, you're doing such a mitzvah. But for Maisa, it is bamish a major tirch. Not only that, at times it's even an expense. And during the summer, I mean, it's great to have tea, but you know, what do you have to be mashriach for? Recall what we have a fridge. I mean, I don't want to take everything away from you. You could bring a polished apple. That's your cup. Here, what we're talking about is a din in terms of onashim. We're not talking about over here. We're talking about in terms of establishing, does he have a din of a godel or not? What does that have to do with whether we can have a refuah? The shaila is he a godel? That's all. So normally, a person who does not bring signs of puberty is a cotton. Now we're trying to establish, is he a cotton? If he ate something, the Isser did something, is he a Misa? Maybe is it, we Machayev him Karbonis, or we Machayev him Malkas, or whatever it is. So in that case, we need to establish whether the fact that he doesn't have signs of puberty means that he's still a cotton. So here what we're saying, if he's 18 years old, or if he's 20 years old, I'll leave the Riddle Yezer. So then he's not considered to be a cotton, and he's responsible for his actions, and his contracts are cut. What does that have to do with the question of whether it's absolute? It's a different issue with law. So the itlana yila onashim. Okay. Itma. Or chalchelat. Here it's talking about a woman, despite the fact that the whole thing is in Loshon Zachar. Because the context over there was a description of the abstraction of Sirisut. To male or female. When we abstract it away from the individual who is male or female, we talk about it entirely in the default, and the default is male. But it's really referring to a woman. So a woman who would eat chelev from 12 years and one day into, in other words, 12 full years, she's in her 13th year, ad ben shmonasre, until she is 18, v'noldu bo simanes going according to Rabbi Eliezer. And then, now she's 18, she now presents indications that she is an islandess. And then, she reaches puberty. At some time later. So she's, afterwards, you might think that since in the end she does present signs of puberty, so now we should say, okay, but I mean, obviously she reached puberty very late. She was 19. During all of those years up until that point, she obviously was still pre-pubescent. She wasn't chayevis. Afal Pikin says, Rav, the fact that she had shtei sarot afterwards is irrelevant to us. If she reached 18 and she presented signs of sarisut, puberty is irrelevant. She's considered to be a gedola like any woman from the age of 12 onwards. So she became bat mitzvah. We now see that we shouldn't have been waiting for signs of puberty because she's not hormonally created to bring signs of puberty. V'shmuel omar? Shmuel says, no. This is a process, my dear friends. In exactly the same way that puberty is a process, adolescence is a process, growing up without hormones is also a process. And it takes till she's 18. So we don't say, now we know that she was actually a gedola at 12. She wasn't a gedola. She's a gedola now. So we at that time, what are you going to do, chayav or not retroactively? At the time, she was a ketan. Maskev l'Rav Yosef l'Rav, hey, wait a second. If according to you, Rav, she was actually considered to be an adult at the age of 12, so then according to Rabbi Meir, Islandist Rabbi Meir Yela Knas. Why do we say, according to Rabbi Meir, it says Beferish in Ksuvas that an islandist can't have a Knas? Why is this? Because there's a big machlokus about whether the din of a Nara, or there's a din of Knas by Pitri and by rape, is that Dafka Naira, or does it mean up until post Nairas, but it would include a Katana as well. Now, if you hold that it doesn't include a ketanin, specifically a case of naru, okay, so then it makes sense to say an island doesn't have a din of knas for rape, and there's no din of a mefuta in that case, because Rabbi Meir holds it a ketana in la knas. Since an island never reaches puberty, so memela, there's no stage that we could call her a nara. Either she's a bogeret or she's a ketana. Where could she be a nara? But when it comes to Rav, if Rav is learning that Ioannis is now a sign retroactively, that the age is what's koveya. So then at 12, she became a nara. Then we have 6 months between the stage of katnut, the end of katnut, the beginning of bagrut. So why isn't that a state of narut? It still doesn't make any difference. Don't you understand? Narut is adolescence. Narut is puberty. This child never had that stage. She went directly from a technical stage of being a ketana legally to a technical stage of being a bogeret, which had nothing to do with her hormonal development. Therefore, where narut? Narut is not years. The time is, what we're saying is 6 months after the onset of puberty. Those 6 months is considered to be the period of drastic adolescence. That's all that we're saying. But if there is no onset of puberty, what you have to say narut? Therefore, it has nothing to do with the age. It has to do with the stage. There's no stage. And the male, even according to Rabbi Meir, the fact that Rav is saying that 12 is koveya, that has nothing to do with creating now an artificial stage from 12 to 12 and a half is what? Puberty? There is no puberty. Is adolescence, what, an adolescence that has nothing to do with puberty? It's no such thing. Therefore, there's no stage that a liberal Rabbi Meir, she would be a ketana, makes no difference. And she's a bogeret, there's no knas, and there's no nairus. So that's the bottom line. Maskevar of Yosef Lerav. Oh, I'm sorry. Kaduri Yotzel Abega. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Abayu, said that, wow, man, that is brilliant. It's really true. Koki ani milen malayata yadamru bit mishamai. Boy, I wish they would quote me as saying that kind of good stuff. Actually, this doesn't make all that much sense. I mean, every time somebody says something good, they should quote me. So there is a completely different girsa over here that has Rabbi Yosef, it actually was the one who Abaya was saying, you taught us, because very often we find Abaya is maske Rabbi Yosef. So he said, you taught us that it's kaf l'kaf. So he said, I don't know, I don't remember anything like that. So he said, it's a brisa. Oh, it's a good things like that you can quote from me because it's not true. Okay, we understand it must be something missing over here. There are a number of different variations on the gears over here. The Tanya, because indeed we learned in a brisa, in asarisni don keben sorero more. There is no halacha. When it came out, we've been talking about the islanders, that she goes directly from the stage of Katnut to Bagrut. There's only one other place where we have that kind of situation, and that's a Ben Sorero Moreh. So Ben Sorero Moreh can't be Chayev unless he's a Gadol. But on the other hand, he's not Chayev if he is a complete Gadol. Interesting things. We have a stage called Na'arut for a male. That stage generally is until the completion of the pubic stage. So all of his pubic hair comes in and he's now viewed as no longer a Ben, he's no longer a little boy. So he's a man. So at that point, we would have already Gadlut. But since it says in the Braita, when it comes to a male, there's no stage of his being that strange Ben, somewhere in between, we'll call it teenager, somewhere in between a child and an adult. There's no such stage. So you can't be a ben sorer more. The fish ain't ben sorer more any don. Ela b'chatimat zekana tachton. The way in which we define a ben sorer more is by the completion of puberty, which is literally pubic hairs, and he doesn't have that whole hormonal period. There's nothing to measure. The in ailonit nidonit kinara murasa. Nor can we take an ailonit and call her a nara murasa for all of the dinim of narut. She went completely directly from a stage of legal katnut to a stage of legal bagrut, and there's nothing in between. Now, what are these simoni? Omer Be'avu, simoni sariz va'ayonis, and the simoni of a ben shimona. Now, what in the world is Ben? How does Ben Shimona get into this? So, I mean, Rashi learns this, that Ben Shimona is that indeed we have to wait until he's 20 years old to decide that he's not a Nathan. It's like the guy's walking around doing business, down up on the, you know, he's Rocky Four, you know, but he may be a Nathan. It's crazy. What is that talking about? What does it have to do with this sugya b'chlal? So, Einachinam, they bring the sheet of the Rabbi Yochanan that, of course, it's not talking about that. It's saying a Ben Shimona, among other issues that are problematic, and the Ben Shimona is a breakdown in his hormones, which mean that for him, his sa'arot are not considered to be signs of puberty. That nu halacha. Therefore, we treat the Ben Shimona as we would anybody who didn't present pubic signs. Okay. But it's definitely a strange situation over here. So, ino sim ben maaseh, achi yu ben esri. We can't, halacha lamaisa, we have to wait until he's 20 years old in order to be absolutely certain that he's considered to be a godol, or in the case of a ben shimon, Rashi is learning that he's considered to be a bar kayama for all dinim, kol shabbos, Chiev, if you murder him, and so on and so forth.
A normal girl, when she turns 12, does she become a Mara?
Nobody normal becomes a gadol unless they present pubic signs. It's a myth that bar mitzvah is defined by 13, bat mitzvah is defined by 12. It's defined by puberty, except we generally assume that the child reaches puberty a little bit before that anyway, so at the age of 12 or 13, that they're now adults. But if we know for a fact that they didn't, I mean, we could also have a chashash and it's all sugya. We had in a number of places about whether we assumed that they did reach puberty, maybe there were just two hairs, maybe they fell out, I mean, fine, but that's not our sugya. Assuming that we know that they didn't reach puberty, then the age is unimportant to us. So, the question that the Gemara is bothered with right now is how do we throw into this sugya the question of an 8-month-old fetus that was born? If we know that he's 8 months, so then I thought we have a din that he doesn't live. Ben Shmona Mika Chai? V'atanya Ben Shmona Areo Ke'eben. Because of the fact that he is considered to be, for all intents and purposes, a dead but showing signs of life, a human being, but he's not really living. And therefore he has a din of an Eben. You can't move him on Shabbos. Also the Taltalot. Can't really do anything for him because he's not really, you think you're looking at a living human being, but you're not. And therefore he's Muksa. The question normally is you wouldn't be able to feed him either, but Imo Shocha Alav, Umenikato, his mother can't pick him up. But she can lean over him so that he can suckle in order for her not to get a breast infection for being impacted with milk. Rashi learns sakana would be the sakana of the child as well, which everybody yells at Rashi. That's the whole point, that we're not chayshish for the sakana. Big question of how Rashi gets away with this. Seems to be connected all fine. But all the other Rishonim learn, they are sakana, sakana ta'im. Rashi also says, mentions the sakanat ha'im, but he throws in sakanat ha'avlad also, which is very strange.
Can she suckle a different baby?
You know, couldn't she suckle?
Couldn't she be
aware? Yeah, okay, but it's not always available. So now, the shaila is, if that's the case, so then how are you're so sure he doesn't live that you don't save his life or you don't allow him to be moved. But now you're telling me, but if he's 20 already, that's okay. Then you can suckle him. Then already has a din of a non-nafer, the way Rashi is learning. I thought he doesn't live, Bichlal. I mean, that's a pretty good life, you know. There's plenty of conditions where they'd be happy to reach 20. Don't seem to be nafer. Also, to my askinan, that's different. Case over here is talking about Kishigam Lusi Manav. Wait a minute. It's a different situation. When a child is born, and we know that his mother was only pregnant for 8 months, so that theoretically he ought to be a nafel. However, he also presents sign of being full term. We'll see those signs as completed fingernails, beheaded full of hair, and so on and so forth. So that's a sign of a complete gestation, in which case we assume, again, as I mentioned too many times, the ancient world had two sets of gestations across the board. You find it in every culture. Oh yeah, it's not only the Gemara. The Greek medical books are full of it. There were children that were born after 7 months of pregnancy. I mean, you could, they may be naive and not worry about women that had sex with somebody else. But, I mean, I don't know. They certainly were not naive people. And they report very clearly that they had two different sets of pregnancy. We know nothing about this. But in any event, the assumption...
They also held that 8 months was a...
was an impossible thing that their child could ever live. So apparently they have to... Look, this is so much a matter of universal experience that it's difficult to believe that it's anything but, as Tosfos calls it, a shinui of teva. There's no change. And they say people must be able to see without spectacles. Difficult to believe. all those ancient statues don't have glasses, them, which indicates that they were born without them somehow. So in any event, what we assume is that actually this child had been completed at 7 months, after 7 months of pregnancy, and it's just taken its good time about coming out. So the Maisa, there's a good chance over here. How do we know that that's finally true? When they reach 20. So if they reach 20, that must have been the Maisa Shahaya. The Tanya Izo Ben Shmona, Koshelo Kolulo Chadashav. A Ben Shmona would be any case where we know that the pregnancy didn't go on long enough for him to have developed. Rebbe Omer. Well, now wait a minute. Simani Mochichinolav. If he's a Ben Shmona only where we have indications that he's not complete. So, but if, let's say, Saro, that's Tziporonav. So they're Shalom Gomru. They're not completed, but Taima Shalom Gomru. Ha Gomru. Had they been completed, so then I'm reading Hai Bar Shiva, who I would have said, this child is a 7-monther, Vishtahuyu Dishtaim. And he just lasted longer. So it comes along our Rabbi Abu to say this, how Rashi learns, that even though Rabbi says that, what I'm saying is that you still have, in that case, you still have to have indications by the time he was born. That's the point. It's not something that's immediate. Tosfos learns that he's going to leave the Rabbana, saying even though Rebbe says it can come with some money, it's miyad, but the Rabbana are made out of the Gil Esrim, it's miyad. I mean, it's simonim are real, and this is now understood not to have been a Ben Ches, but don't ask me about Ben Ches Lochai. I'm saying I'll leave it to everybody Lochai. The proof that I'm right, says Tosfos, is that the Gemara doesn't ask, you mean Rebbe Avu's only saying is halacha leave it to Rebbe. And we'll see in a moment that that's exactly what we're going to ask on Rabbi Tosva. On Rabbi Tosva, I forgot to look it up. Rabbi Tosva, now, as the Gemara Lahadabad, Rabbi Tosva Uvda. Rabbi Tosva had this wild case of a woman whose husband had been gone for 12 months when she finally delivered the baby. Now, that raised a lot of eyebrows because something is fishy, something is rotten in Denmark. And they wanted to know whether they should ask him a child as a monster. So Rava said, no, the Vlad is kosher. She got pregnant 12 months ago before the husband left. And the kid's taking his time to get out because he wants daddy to come home before him. So Ishtaruya, you see that he stayed around Atresa Yarfishata. The Achere, so he was Marsha the child. So now you're going to say, so it's only Rebbe who said that, because Rebbe said that this was obviously a Vlad that was Mishtahe. Come on, Karebi, Diyomar Mishtahe. So, well, he's going to Paskin now, Kadas Yochid. He'll Paskin, where the Rabbanan didn't say anything about Shiyui. They said, Zvarai, nothing to do with Simonim. No, but you see, it's not only Rebbe, it's not Das Yochid. Reb Shimon Gamliel also holds that there's a din of Shiyui. So he Paskin, I'll show you in a minute. So Kivanik or Shimon Gamliel Domer Mishtahe. Since we know there's another sheet, this already becomes a big machlokas. It's not one person. So he paskin also like a rabbi. The Tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Shishahash Roshim Yom Ba'adam, Eino Nefa. If a child, and even though there was definitely, as far as we said, there was lo kol lo chadoshav, and there wasn't enough time for him to grow, so how come he's not an eifel? Because now we say, since he's 30 days already, it must be that lamaisa, he was really ready to come out at 7 months, and he was a 7 month vlad, and even though he was born at 8 months, lamaisa, he was ishtai. So that means that we have other shitas as well. Tanarabba. Ezeru siris chama. When we're talking about a siris chama, we're talking about somebody who's ben esrim. Veloiv ishtei sarot. Up until now, he hasn't presented signs of puberty. Not even from this point on, even if he does, it makes no difference. We don't say, well, now it turned out at 23, he finally reached puberty, so now he should be a cotton up until the time of 23. We don't say that. We say it's irrelevant after this time. So if at 20 he hasn't yet reached puberty, so then, areyu kisaris l'kol devarav, as long as he presents simanei saris, as we saw earlier, what are simanei saris? Ve'elu hein simanav. Well, kosher in lo zakan, he doesn't have a beard. V'saro lakui, the hair that he has is thin hair. Or some actually say downy hair. In other words, he still has his downy hair. It didn't fall, which usually falls off at puberty. He still has down. And Bisoro Machalik, he has now smooth skin, which is very feminine. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Yoyer adds, Koshe in Meimav Ma'alim Retichut, when he urinates, there's no froth in his urine. V'yesh Omrim Kolam Atil Mayim Venos Ekipa, he urinates and doesn't create an arc so that his urine dribbles. V'yesh Omrim Koshe Shechvat Saro Doche, others say that his semen is loose. It's not, this is how Rashi learns docha, means docha. It's like loose, not thick as semen usually is. The Rambam learns dohe, is a keha. So that his semen, instead of being white colored, is dark. The yeshomrim, kosha in memeraglav machnitzim. Others add another simon. These are the not arguments on the previous simon. They're adding simoni. Someone who, if you let his urine stand around, it doesn't become now ammonia. Others say that his body temperature is low, so that when he washes during the winter, you don't see any steam coming off of his body. Rip Shimon ben Elazar Omer, he never ends up reaching a stage where his voice now develops, what's that called?
Voice changes.
Yeah, is that just called changes? Not technical term. Okay, so his voice never changes, so he sounds like a female. And there's no difference between, you can't tell the difference if he answers the telephone. You don't know if you're talking to a man or a woman. What are the simonim of the Ilanit? Again, so first of all, if she has to be 20 years old, again, I'll leave it a base level here. Kol loy via shtei se'arot, even if she had shtei se'arot afterwards, we don't care. She's Ilanit l'chol dvoreha, if she brought simonim. Now, what are the simonim? So first of all, kosher in ladadim, her breasts never developed. U'mitkasha b'sha'at tashmish. She's got a problem with intercourse. There's no lubrication at intercourse. The Rambam says she really has no desire for intercourse. In other words, again, hormonally, she's not programmed for reproduction. She doesn't have the overall shape of an extended abdomen above the genitals the way women have. She's got a deep voice. She can't really tell the difference when she answers the phone, you're talking to a male or a female. Now, the question are these simanim, are they a group or are they a list of possibilities? This is a machlokes. Itma. Simanei Saris. So Rav Huna holds, Simanei Saris says we need all of the above simanim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Be'Echad Mehem. Any simon is sufficient once they've reached 20. Any simon is sufficient. Now, Heichi Devi Shtei Sa'arot B'Zakan. If there were two Sa'arot that were brought in the beard, so then Kulei Alma Lo Pligi. Then for sure, there's no question that you need all of these simonim to establish sarisut. Now, this is a major issue. Because obviously, it's saying that two sarot and the zakan are not considered to be a simonim of puberty. Because otherwise, I mean, then there was heavy sarot, saying for low heavy sarot, and it makes no sense to say the whole thing. So, okay, that's a given. That hair in the beard is not considered to be puberty.
Face beard.
Facial beard. Now, the question is, okay, what about hair elsewhere on the body? We're talking about hair in his chest. Considered to be a gadol, or is he still a cotton? Now that's a big shaila. Whether this means dafka facial hair, lemaisa, the Rambam paskins, when we talk about pubic hair, we mean pubic hair. And that's what we mean. There's no other simonium of gadlus. But then we have another question. If he's got hair on the beard, then he's got a beard. It says koshen lo zakan. Tosis explains that zakan means he's got a beard, not he's got a couple of hairs here and there. So that's no problem. So that was neither pubic hairs, or hairs of signs of puberty, let's say, neither Cyrus or Godless. And that's a big machlokas, even Adayom, the Bechab, the Rambam. And the Rambam paskins like the Rambam, which there's a lot of shilas about how he learned this sugya over here. But in any event, so in a case where there are signs that, on the one hand, that there is some hormonal process going on, and the child obviously has got enough testosterone in there that he's growing hair on his chin. And so we're not going to pass him he's a sorius, unless there, according to one shita, so there everybody agrees that you need everything, but according to one shita, in a case where there were no signs that any process of puberty is going on. So that's where we have our machlokas. Wait a minute, but you know, Rabbi Bar Avua, he had a daughter that he wanted very much to marry off to Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman, it was his Talmud. Reb Nachman was extremely effeminate, and he wasn't sure whether he was ever going to be a male. So he's going to want to give him his daughter. So he told the other guys in the yeshiva, said, look, do me a favor, when he takes a shower, just see whether his steam, he's got any steam on him, you know? Because I'm worried about this guy. So I knew, baby, Reb Nachman, I want to know whether he shows signs of masculinity. Etiv lebrat, I would give him my daughter. But I need to find out about him. So it's apparently he's holding like Ravuna. Because he's saying that it's sufficient. If I see that, so I'm already sure. So what are we going to say over here? That if he doesn't have all the simonim, he's obviously not a soris. That's only Ravuna, right? You're going to say that he paskin dafka like Ravuna in this issue. So that if he doesn't have all, if I could see he has one that is not, so then I know he'll never be a Saris, because you need to have all of this simonim. No. Reb Nachman actually had Siki Dikna. Yeah, he had a little bit of those scraggly beards, he had a couple of hairs here and there, you know. So that's what Siki, like thorns. He had thorns coming out of his face. So already everybody agrees you need all of the simonim for him to be a Saris. It's not only about Ravuna, the Rabbanon also would agree. There, I could rely, obviously, on the Rabbin, too. So there, everybody agrees that if he has one simon that is definitely anti-Soros, he can't be a Soros, because he needs all the simonim. So, okay, I don't know how you're not going to be able to watch him urinate or whatever. Watch him when he comes out of the mikveh. You'll see if he has any heat that's coming off of his body in the winter. Ha-Soros lo choletz v'lo miyabim. Now, it puts it together, right? It puts together the soris, together with the islandis. Islandis is generally, we're talking about an islandis, is a hormonal issue. It's not somebody poked her in the genitals. We never find an islandis hama, an islandis odam. Basically, her genitals are well protected. So the islandis is bidei shamayim we're talking about. If you put the two together, then you're talking about a soris bidei shamayim. So if you're trying to analyze the halacha in tandem, soris and islandis, so then you're talking about the same case. Soris b'dei shamayim, islandis b'dei shamayim, and that's going to define the chiyuv of yibum and chalitza. But that's Rabbi Akiva Shita, that it has to do with shas hakosha. Okay, so stomach Rabbi Akiva, the amr b'dei adamim, b'dei shamayim lo, there you go. We seem to have a right group from this bride. It's following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, taking for granted that that's the halacha. Now we continue to say, if the Soris went ahead and he gave Chalitza, It makes no difference because his chalitza is meaningless, which means that if there are other brothers, that the other brothers, of course, normally one brother does chalitza, boom, that's the end of it. Not even a chumrah. She wants to marry a kohen. Not even a chumrah. She never got chalitza. It's a joke. No, but the mashmaut is that's because it's chalitza. Okay? And if he would have been boiler, so then he did pasul, continues the mission. Now, that seems to be saying that the only way we could create a psul is if he was boiler. He was boiler her, and therefore that's bilas nus. Then he created a problem. Okay, but suppose somebody else had slept with her, because on the tzadik she was a yavam l'shuk. So you're stressing the only way she becomes psula is that he himself was a fee of chorus, he himself was boiler. Her acher, no. So in other words, somebody else would slept with her without a key of chorus, yavam l'shuk. So then he didn't passel her. Ooh, but then that's a tiyuf of Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna says that a shomeret yavam shezinta has the same din as a wife with mizana. A wife with mizana is also her husband. Shomeret yavam who sleeps with somebody out there, she's not allowed now to get yavam from any of the other brothers. So here it says, no, only if he, who had no fear of Yibam. So now, because of that now, he creates a psul in terms of Zaina. That's the only problem, Issa Kahuna. But no problem in the family. Not necessarily. Who had been a filiacher? It could well be talking about even if she had been Nivela to as a Yavam Lashuk. Nami would be psula. But I did a Tani Reshe B'Didei. Since obviously the first part is talking about the chalitza, he gave chalitza, so it says also. And what if he was boiler, but it doesn't have to be talking about as opposed to anybody else. So it also says over here, the seifa is b'didei. V'chein aylanis shecholtzu la'achim or shenivala. So there it's time of the ba'alua. Because of the fact that these people had, who were usher on her because she's a brother's wife who's not from welcome Yibum, so there's no mitzvah, it's a chiyav chorus. That created the problem for the kuna, right? So they passed her because she's a zayna. But the very fact that she's an islandist doesn't create a problem. But Rabbi Yehuda said before, zayna shebet Torah is an islandist. So it's obviously the law of Rabbi Yehuda, because remember Rabbi Yehuda Shita was, any bia which is lola pirtza, in other words, it can't be any reproductive use for such a bia, is considered to be znus. So therefore, according to him, the island is per se would be considered a zonah. And because of that, the mission is clearly not like review. But,